Well, hello. Welcome to the next episode of Pegasus Radio. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about things to consider when moving internationally. Obviously, I am seeing a massive uptick both in terms of demand for people moving internationally, but also people wishing to move and make a move to another country and work elsewhere. So I think there are a lot of people who don't put a lot of thought into the process of why, or perhaps are sold a vision or a dream of what the experience will be like, when actually I think it does vary. So this won't be a long one, folks, but I'm just going to talk about a few things that I think you should consider when making a move abroad. So I love this saying by Stephen Covey, start with the end in mind. So what is the overall plan as to why you want to make a move internationally? And of course, this can change, folks, but I still think you need a plan. So is this that you want to go out for 2 years somewhere and just have a life experience, but then ultimately you want to return back to your home country? Is this to actually, no, this is burn the boats, so to speak, and we're making a move, this is it, it's going to be a long-term move, better for us personally, whether that's at individual level or family level, and that you want to make that move, and it's a long-term move. To an extent, those two are very different, and I hope you can appreciate those. If you're going for 2 years, for argument's sake, then arguably, you can almost do whatever you choose to do, because in 2 years, should you return back to where you were from, you can no doubt pick up your career, certainly where you left off. And in the space of 2 years, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it's nothing. If you're making a full long-term move, then it's got to be somewhere that either you personally or you and your family are going to be settled, are going to be happy, it's going to be a sustainable long-term move. So I think that is worth thinking about to begin with, folks. And I'll come on to some of the other parts around that, but I do think that's worth thinking about. Number two is to consider personal development, or professional and personal development, and that there's some consistency to it. So let's say, for argument's sake, I've got an experienced, say, quantity surveying professional in the UK. They are, let's say, 5 years in, they are chartered, they are running their own projects. And then let's say they say, right, I'm going to go and work in Saudi, or pick any location which has got a lot of these big mega giga projects. So you go from managing your own projects, you manage the contractor, you manage the design team, you engage heavily with the client, to going to sit on one of these giga projects where you're playing fundamentally a small part. You may have gone from, and this is not me being flippant, it's just a reality, you may have gone from, I don't know, let's say, delivering your own £30 million schemes to suddenly looking after the scaffolding package on a mega, mega project. Do you see how there's a distinct difference there in terms of your continued professional development? So it's worth just thinking about that and just having an eye on, right, how do I continue to progress? How do I continue to build on the experience I've got? And that doesn't mean, oh, great, look, I'm going to go out to one of these places and work on a mega project. That's up in the ante. It only is if you're the key point of contact, or one of the key points of contact, or you're at least doing something significant on the project, as opposed to playing a very bit part. There's also a reality of some sectors are better than others. So for example, at the moment, we are placing a lot of people in the US. Nearly all the placements we are making relate to the data center world. Now, the advantage there is that should you go out to the US and you work on data centers, and you decide then ultimately you wish to return back to your home country, let's say you're from the UK, you can easily do that because the data center market in the UK and Europe is equally as massive as it is in the US. You will be working fundamentally for the same clients. So if you work for, I don't know, the likes of a Google or a Meta or one of the developers like an Equinox, the reality is once you have worked for them in the US, it won't be that different working for them in Europe. So you see, you've got a continuous flow. You can return back to where you were without missing a beat, without going too far back. I can't tell you enough, folks, the amount of times I get somebody, and this isn't age, it's just a reality. I get a lot of folks who message me who are in their 50s, who have spent, let's say, the last 20-odd years out in the Gulf working on various kind of mega projects to varying degrees in terms of responsibility. They think, you know what, I've worked on some of the most iconic projects that the world has ever seen. And it's true. That's absolutely 100% true. And they think they'll be able to just slot back into a senior role within the UK. What they don't realize often is that actually that experience is not that attractive to a UK employer, because what the individual has not done is manage their own projects. Has managed their own projects, but also on top of that, has managed relevant projects, relevant to what they will be doing back in the UK. And often these expats genuinely do struggle to find a home. And they often have to make a compromise or end up in a not great company or wherever it may be to get back. They often find that the salary expectations are way below what the market is actually willing to pay. Compare that to somebody who, let's say, has been doing data center work in the US for the last 3 or 4 years, or even the last 10 years, and wants to return to the UK market. They will not struggle for opportunity. Yes, they may still have to make a compromise salary-wise because salaries in the US are absolutely crazy. But the point is they can probably, let's say they were operating at associate director level out in the US, they'll easily be able to find a position back there. Whereas you could be someone like a project director working in the Gulf, come back and find, right, I've actually got to go back as a senior PM. I've got to take 2 steps backwards sometimes because there is a reality that your experience does not match what the UK is after. Well, there are good sectors like that. If you want to think about global movement, the corporate occupier sector and generally corporate real estate is often a very good one. Life science, pharmaceutical is again often a very good one because a lot of these clients are national, multinational, global clients who have, let's say, similar projects, similar assets around the world. And so a lot of these sectors are very, very transferable. You know, some people might go and work, they may have been in corporate real estate for a good 10 years, go out to, I don't know, let's pick a different place now, let's pick Australia, and they go work in the mining sector for the next 5-10 years. The reality is returning back to the UK, having worked in mining projects, of course, there are, hopefully blatantly bloody obvious, there are not many mines in the UK. That's not to say that you cannot remain in that natural resources sector and maybe work on projects remotely, but hopefully you get the message. There are certain sectors that it's much easier to transfer back to your home country based on the experience. You know, likewise, if I'm speaking to an Aussie who's done a lot of work in mining and they go work, I don't know, in Mongolia, working on a major mine, they return to the Australian market and they can return back into the mining sector quite easily. I hope that all makes sense. It's about this continuity piece. And the last point I thought I'd raise is around cost of living. I think a lot of people look at some locations and think, wow, this is amazing. You know, I'm going to make a lot more money. And don't get me wrong, there absolutely are some locations where if you are sensible with your money, you can make some savings. What I would say, though, as a general statement, is that the reality is salaries are higher for reasons in certain places, and consequently, so is the cost of living. It all tallies up. So, for example, if you were to go live in Brazil, as an example, you know, if you were a senior QS in the UK on 60-65K, look, candidly, in Brazil, you might get the equivalent of 40-45K in terms of UK sterling. However, at that money, you'll live like a king in Brazil. So it's all relative. If you go live in New York as a senior QS, you can probably command somewhere just landing on the ground, somewhere between $120,000 to $140,000, which sounds great. And yes, people do save money on that basis. You know, they pay a lot of money to people in the US. But also, New York's not a bloody cheap place to live. So you see, it balances out. There is a cost of living implication. A lot of people are running off to Saudi at the moment now and saying that, look, they, you know, they're going to make a fortune, it's tax-free, et cetera, et cetera. What they don't realize is that because everyone's going to Saudi at the moment, there are certain things that are hugely, hugely expensive. Property, decent accommodation is massively expensive. Having a good meal is massively expensive. Because people like to kind of have a bit of variety, move around the region, they often spend a lot of time either coming back home or traveling, which again, all costs money. It's all relative, folks, to it's not always that straight cut that you can go out somewhere. I think people think they're going to go to, you know, Saudi being the obvious one or the Gulf being an obvious one. You'll go out there and you'll be living and then you'll be, you know, pocketing $100,000 a year tax-free in your savings. I don't think there are that many roles paying that kind of money versus your cost of living that actually you people do get away with that. So it's all, I'm just trying to get the point across, folks, that it is relative. Okay, I hope that's been a useful one there. Just some things to consider when it comes to making an international move. Now, we are very busy in the international market. It is certainly not all doom and gloom by any means. So please don't think this podcast is trying to deter you from going internationally. It's not at all. What I am saying to you is you need a game plan. You need to have a long-term vision for what you want out of that move. Is it a short-term move? Is it a long-term move? How easy will it be to loop back to your home country based on the things you've done in the place that you go live and work for a while? And obviously, lastly, just bear in mind that cost of living is relative to where you're looking at. Okay, I hope that's been a useful one, folks. More to come. Cheers, bye.